So we're holding on Samakh Ahmed Bey is the first line of the wide lines. Okay, we started talking, we were talking yesterday about the machshavos that a person has to have and has to not have while he's shechting the Korban Pesach. One thing we mentioned is that the Korban Pesach, unlike most other korbanos, if it's shechted or any of the other avodas are done shaloi l'shmoi, then it's possible. Now there's another psul that there's another now we also mentioned yesterday about the case we also mentioned yesterday and we're going to mention in the Mishnah today about the case where a person shechts the korban shaloi la'oichlov or shaloi la'menuyov on having in mind people who are not able to each eat a kazayis of the korban Pesach or who are not registered for this particular korban Pesach. Now you have in general by korbanos you have a psul called shinri bailim. If Reuven brings a korban and the kohen and whoever it is shechts it on the or not shechts it actually. So that's if the kohen has in mind Shimon, then the korban will be possible. But usually, so that concept is called shinui bailim. Usually, though, that only applies during the zrika of the blood of the korban. So now, when it comes to the korban Pesach, we mentioned shaloi la'oichlov and shaloi la'menuyov. And that, as we're going to see in the next Mishnah, that applies more primarily during the Shechita, because the Pasuk that we learn it from applies during the Shechita. There's discussion among the Rishonim of how these two factors interplay. But anyway, so let's start the Gemara, and as we go through, we'll try to clarify it. It's going to be one of those things that's a little bit hairy, and we're going to need to keep our wits about us. We'll see. So Iboilahu. Pesach sheshachta b'shari mois hashana b'shinri b'aylem mahu. We discussed before that if you shecht the Korban Pesach outside of the time of the Korban Pesach, then it's a shlomim. We also mentioned that in that case, you need akira. You need to actually say or do something to say that it's not a Korban Pesach anymore. Otherwise, what it amounts to is that you're shechting a Korban Pesach outside of the time, and therefore it's possible. The next Mishnah is going to tell us if you shecht the Korban Pesach before Chatzos, then it's possible. So you need akira. You need to say something to say, for example, I'm instead bringing this animal as a shlomim. And we discussed yesterday what happens if you had that as well as Pesach in mind, what would be the din? So now, Pesach sheshachta b'shari mois hashana b'shinri b'aylem mahu. What happens if sometime during the other part of the year, you shechted this Korban Pesach, having in mind shinri b'aylem, it's Reuven had brought this animal, and then you're shechting it, having in mind Shimon. So now that's not a psul that applies specifically to the Korban Pesach. Like we said, shinui bailim applies more generally to other korbanos. The question basically is, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman explains, the question basically is, since you have a psul in it, is that good enough to make it, is that good enough to count as the equivalent of Akira to therefore say that this is not a Korban Pesach and therefore for to say that it's not a Pesach but rather a Shlomim. So actually I said it wrong. Actually, Shinui Bailim is like Shinui Hashem, like we talked yesterday about Lishmoy and Shaloi Lishmoy. By most Korbanos it won't make the Pesach possible. It just means it won't count, it won't make the Korban possible by most Korbanos. It just makes it that it won't count for the Onus Chova. Shinui Bailim is the same kind of thing. If you have if Reuven brings an Oila and you shecht it or you do the Zrik or whatever Lishem Shimon, the korban is kosher, and you do everything with it that you would normally do with the korban, just that Reuven wasn't yotze his chiyuv of bringing the korban. So now, when it comes to the Korban Pesach, again, shinui bailim, the Korban Pesach is more severe, like with shinui Hashem. Shinui bailim actually passels a Pesach. So maybe, therefore, shinui bailim is strong enough to be oiker, to take away the name Pesach from this thing and turn it into some other kind of korban, and therefore it won't be possible as a result of that. It just means the person won't have been yotze. Well, he won't be yotze the Pesach, obviously, anyway, because it's not on Erev Pesach achachatzos, and because he shechted it he didn't specifically say that he's taking it away from being a Pesach, but that's the question. Does this take it away from being a Pesach? And therefore it'll still be kosher, just not, he won't be yotze with it, or will it be possible? So that's the question. Mahu. Do we say shinui bailim kishinui kodesh dami? Do we say that shinui bailim, having in mind somebody different during the korban, is the equivalent of is the equivalent of shinui of shinui kodesh of shechting at shaloi lishmoi, and therefore umachshule. So therefore, here now, usually again with the Pesach, we usually say that shechting at shaloi lishmoi passels it, but that's in the time when the Korban Pesach is supposed to be brought. Here we're talking about outside that time, before that time. Therefore, you need akira. And we said yesterday that in fact, if you shecht at shaloi lishmoi, that's akira. That's taking away the designation Korban Pesach and giving it a different designation. And adrava, that makes it kosher as that other kind of korban. So therefore, umachshulei. So it'll make the korban kosher. Oiloi, or maybe not. Maybe after all, it's one thing to do shinui hashem to have in mind. I'm not shechting this as a Pesach. I'm shechting this as a shlamim. It's another thing altogether to say I'm not thinking about its status as a Pesach at all. To be saying, in effect, I'm still leaving this as a Pesach. I'm just changing the bialim. So that's the question. So Amara Papa, Amrita Lashmaita Kameda Rava. So the Papa says, I set over the following Svara to answer this question in front of Rava. I argued like this. Hoyova Shinri Kodesh Posla Bismanoi, Shinri Bailim Posla Bismanoi. Now what would happen, Bismanoi, on Erev Pesach afternoon, if you shech the Korban Pesach with Shinri Hashem, Shinri Kodesh, meaning that you shechted it Shaloi Lishmoi, it'll be possible. We said the Pesach and the Chata, so Shaloi Lishmoi is possible. And the Shinri Bailim Post Libismano.
What's the difference if you say Lishmoi or if it's Kodesh? What are the difference?
Lishmoi and Shaloi Lishmoi and Shinri Kodesh is two names for the same thing. It means we changed the type of Kedusha of this Korban. It means we said instead of it being a Pesach, we're doing it as some other kind of Korban. So again, with most other Korbanos, it'll be kosher. With the Korban Pesach, it'll be possible. So Shinri Kodesh is just another word for shechting at Shaloi Lishmoi. So Hoyova Shinri Kodesh Posla Bismanoi, given that shechting at Shaloi Lishmoi passels it on Erev Pesach afternoon, which is the time to bring the Korban Pesach, the Shinri Bailim Posla Bismanoi, and Shinri Bailim having in mind that I'm doing it for a different person is also passeling it by the Korban Pesach. And again, by the Korban Pesach, you have also Shaloi L'Oichlov and Shaloi L'Menuyah, but that's actually, we're going to talk about it in a little bit about that angle of it. But the basic idea of Shinri Bailim, of having in mind that a different owner during the Korban, that exists across all Korbanos in a certain way or other, as we're going to see. So we can compare them, says Rapapa. Ma Shinui Kodesh supposed to bismane machshuda la achazmanoi. Now, what happens with Shinui Kodesh, shechting at Shaloi Lishmoi? So again, we said that same machshava, which will passel it on Erev Pesach after Chatzos, is going to be machshuda if you shecht it beforehand. If you say the same way as if on Erev Pesach afternoon, you say, I'm shechting this animal, the shame shlomim, then it makes it possible. The same way, if you did that sometime earlier and you said, I'm shechting this l'shem shlomim, then it makes it into a kosher shlomim. Therefore, the logic is, says Rapapa, af shinui bailim shepos the bismanoi, machshir la'achazmanoi. So the same way, shinui bailim, having in mind Shimon instead of Reuben, should accomplish the same thing. If you did it on Erev Pesach afternoon, it'll pass all the korban. And if you do it earlier than that, then it'll be machshir the korban. By the way, when we say over here la'achazmanoi twice, So Maseres Hashas changes it to L'Shaloi Bismanoi, because Tosfos discussed earlier that if we're talking about this is taking place after Pesach, then we're not even sure whether the Gemara mentions later on in the Masechta, or later on in the Perek actually, that we're not even sure then whether it requires Akira at all. Once Erev Pesach passed and you didn't bring this animal as a Pesach, automatically, maybe it turns into a shlomim without even needing to say that. It's only before Pesach when the usual assumption would be you're going to save it until Erev Pesach and then bring it. So then we have to talk about Akira. So therefore, he changes the lashon over here from La'achaz Manoi to L'Shaloi Bismanoi. The point is still the same thing. In other words, Rapapa is saying that the argument would be any machshava which makes the korban possible on Erev Pesach, that same machshava should make it kosher to serve in place of Akira earlier in the year, before Erev Pesach. So Shinui Hashem does that, shechting it, having in mind it's a different korban, and therefore it as a shlomim, and therefore Shinui Bailim should accomplish the same thing.
You can't say that until Pesach Sheni, it should be considered.
Oh, so that's a good point, actually. So after Pesach Rishon, right, you could say if the person didn't bring a Pesach Rishon, then maybe this animal is still usable for Pesach Sheni. Fine. Okay, so after Pesach Sheni, then whatever. After Pesach Sheni, definitely, then the Gemara discusses later on a couple of blocks whether it requires Akira after that. Because you have to keep in mind also the Korban Pesach has to be an animal less than a year old. So if you didn't bring it this year, for the Korban Pesach, Rishon or Sheni, as the case may be, there's no possibility of bringing it next year for the Korban Pesach because it'll already be overage. So therefore, the Gemara discusses later on Daf Samach Dalet whether it even requires Akira at all.
But yeah, what is that Akira over here that we were speaking about?
Akira means that you're saying that you're having the machshava, this is not a Korban Pesach, this is some other kind of Korban.
So what Pesach we're saying is, Sheni is not for Klal Yisrael. I mean, you cannot say the whole Klal Yisrael.
Nobody's saying the whole Klal Yisrael. We're talking about one specific person's Korban Pesach.
Exactly, so it doesn't work for Klal Yisrael, Pesach Sheni.
Nobody
it's not
said
an
it.
Option.
Nobody said it works for Klal Yisrael, but we're not talking about that. Yeah. What we're saying is, if the person designated his animal for a Korban Pesach, let's say a month before Pesach. So now, now sometime between then and Pesach, he brings it to the Beis Hamikdash to shecht it. So we're saying he definitely, in order for it to be kosher as a shlamim, he definitely needs akira. He needs to say or do something to demonstrate that he's now bringing it as a shlamim. Otherwise, it amounts to that he's bringing it as a korban pesach in the wrong time, and then it's going to be posel. So that's we're discussing the question now of whether shinui bailim counts as an akira. Whereas later on, the Gemara discusses that after Pesach, or okay, after Pesach Sheni, then do you need Akira at that point? If you didn't bring it as a Pesach Rishon, or you didn't bring it as a Pesach Sheni, do you need to do Akira, or is it automatically that it becomes a Shlomim? Actually, the Gemara discusses over there, the Gemara mentions over there Pesach Sheni, it mentions over there you have the case where the owner was Tomei Mess on Pesach Rishon, so therefore automatically he needs to bring a Pesach Sheni, so then we can talk about the animal is still designated for a Korban Pesach and he's going to bring a Pesach Sheni. But if he wasn't Tomei or Bederech Rechoika, the first Pesach, then he's not bringing a Pesach Sheni anyway. So then you could talk about even right after Erev Pesach. Whatever. Tosfos says, the Gemara implies over there that it's a suffix whether it would require Akira. So therefore, we're focusing over here on the case where it's before Pesach. Okay. So again, so let's recap. The question was, we know that Shinui Hashem before Erev Pesach, will make it kosher as the other type of korban that you had it in mind for, namely in this case, a Shlomim. On the other hand, if you didn't do Shinui Hashem, if you didn't do Akira, then you have the problem, you bring a Korban Pesach at the wrong time, and that's no good, it's possible. Now we're asking, what about Shinui Bailim? Would that have the same effect? So Rav Papa is arguing that yes, any machshava that passels the korban on Erev Pesach afternoon, that same machshava done at an earlier time in the year should make it kosher. So in the case of Shinui Hashem, it would make it a completely kosher shlomim. And in the case of Shinui Bailim, it'll make it a completely kosher shlomim, just that the owner won't have been yotze his chiyuv of a shlomim. That was his argument, that we're making a mamatzinu between these two things. V'omarli, so now Rav Papa says, Rava answered me, loy. That's not a valid comparison. Im amarta b'shinui kodesh, you know what? You can talk about shinui kodesh, about shechting shaloi l'shmoi, that it has the effect of making it posel on Erev Pesach and kosher other times during the year. The reason why that works is because shekhen psuloi b'gufoi. Because you're thinking about, there's a number of differences between Shinui Hashem and Shinui Bailim, as we're going to see. We're going to list four different things where Shinui Hashem is stronger than Shinui Bailim. And therefore, Shinui Hashem should be able to have more of an effect. So Shinui Hashem, Shechting Shaloi L'shmoi, should be strong enough to make it possible on Erev Pesach, but on the other hand, kosher earlier in the year. But Shinui Bailim, given that it's weaker in these four ways that we're going to say, maybe it's not strong enough to make it kosher the rest of the year. So number one, Shekhen Psulei B'gufoi. Number one, the Shinui Kodesh is a psul on the actual korban itself. Namely, you're changing the actual type of the korban, as opposed to Shinui Bailim, all you're doing is you're still shechting it as a korban Pesach. You're just having in mind Shimon instead of Reuven. So that's number one. Number two, V'yeshne B'arba Avoidus. Number two, Shinui Hashem applies by all four avoiders, like we said yesterday. Any one of those avodas that you do having in mind that's a different korban affects the kashrus of the korban. In the case of the Pesach, it makes it possible, and in the case of the other korbanos, it makes that you're not yotze. V'yeshne la'achamisa. Another point is that shinui Hashem shechting shalei lishmoi applies even la'achamisa. Namely, Rashi says, suppose a person had an animal for a korban, then he died, then his son is bringing the korban instead of him, so he's not bringing it to be mechaper for his father, because it's fine, ein kapara la'achamisa, but he's bringing the korban to be yotze. To be yotze, the fact that his father had made a neder to bring this type of korban, and there was an achrayus on his nechasim. So let's say, in other words, rather, so it's not the case. So we could be talking about not necessarily where he designated an actual animal. So let's say the father before he died had made a neder that he's going to bring an oila. Let's say so now he died. Now his son yarshin the property. So now he has to fulfill that chayv, because that chayv is on the estate that an oila has to be brought from it. So he takes the animal. Now if he shechts that shaloi l'shmoi, then he's not yotze. He's going to have to bring another one. So therefore, so the concept of shinui Hashem applies even la'achamisa. Okay, Tosfos gets into a little bit of discussion of the detail. Are we talking about where the animal was designated while the father was alive? Are we talking about not? Tosfos mentions you have one point is maybe we're not saying that it would actually affect the kashrus of the korban. We're just saying it's also to do that. Anyway, the yeshne b'tzibur k'b'yachad, and a fourth difference is that shinui Hashem applies to korbanos tzibur as well. Same idea with a korban tzibur. If somebody were to, if in the morning when they shecht the korban tamid, the person who shechts it, who does any of the other avodas, has in mind, this is not for an oila, this is not an oila, this is a shlomim, or this is a chatas, or what have you, then the tzibur won't be yotze with it. They're going to have to shecht another one. So four things that all apply to shinui Hashem, where none of these things apply to shinui Bailim. Toma b'shinui Bailim, continues Rava. How do you compare to shinui Bailim? Where de'ein psula b'gufoy? Number one, it's not a psul in the actual korban itself. It's only you're changing the owner of the korban, but it's not something that really affects the korban itself. It sort of affects a side thing about it. The Einoi Ba'arba Avodas, this concept does not apply in all four Avodas aside from the Korban Pesach. Meaning Rashi explains like this. Rashi explains at some length over here that it's like this. Most Korbanos, the purpose of the Korban is not really so much to be eaten. The purpose of the Korban is Kapara. We said that the Kohenim eat their part of the Korban, and that completes the Kapara. But the essential Kapara is accomplished by the Zrika. So therefore, when do we talk about shinui bailim being relevant by most korbanos? Only by zrika. So to the extent that shinui bailim affects other avoiders, it's only if he has in mind the zrika during those avoiders. So just like we talked about yesterday, you can have that you're shechting the korban, having in mind that the zrika is going to be done. Shaloi l'shmoi, the same thing. It's possible to be shechting the korban, for example, having in mind that the zrika is going to be done l'shem somebody else. So that will affect the kashrus of the korban. And again, we'll say the korban is kosher, but the person is not yotze. But if he just shechts the korban, having in mind shimon, that it, and he's not thinking about the zrika at all, Rashi says at that point it'll be kosher. Only when it comes to the zrika, which is the kapara, will this thought of shinui bailim take effect. So either during the zrika itself or during a different avoda where he's thinking about the zrika. That's as far as most korbanos. Now, as far as the korban pesach is different. The korban pesach, the purpose of it is to eat. So then, as we're going to talk about soon, if you have in mind during the shchita somebody else, you have in mind shaloi l'menuyav, then it'll be possible because then the shchita is what's making it possible to eat it. You can't eat from it without shechting it. So therefore, we're talking about what he's thinking just during the shchita. In other words, again, what we're saying is Rashi is saying when it comes to most korbanos, you have just the psul of shinui bailim, and that applies only during zrika or only during avodas in which he has the zrika in mind. On the other hand, by the korban pesach, you have the concept the Shaloi Lemenuyev, which is a Rashi learns basically that it's sort of a broadening of the basic concept. What we're doing is we're taking the concept of Shinui Bailim and applying it more broadly to the Korban Pesach. That if he shechts Shaloi Lemenuyev, having in mind people who are not registered for this Korban Pesach exclusively, then he's going to passel it even when that Machshava was doing the Zrika alone. Anyway, but Shinui Bailim itself as a whole doesn't apply Ba'ar Avodas because it only applies in the Zrika or in other Avodas where he has Zrika in mind. Again, unlike Shinui Hashem, unlike Shaloi Lishmoi, which applies to all four of them. The Einu La'achamisa, a third difference is that Shinui Bailim doesn't apply La'achamisa because once the original owner died, it doesn't have Bailim anymore. So at that point, he could be shechting it on behalf of the new person, on behalf of the one who yarshined it. Or Tosfos learns, okay, it doesn't mean necessarily, it just means there's no iser in it, maybe with the other one, that it doesn't actually pass all the korban, or it doesn't actually affect the kashrus of the korban, it just also to do it. But here, once the guy died, it's mutter to be mishana the bailim. And the ein of itzibur kavayochid, and a fourth difference is that Shinui Bailim doesn't apply by Korbanos Tzibur because it can't. The whole Jewish people collectively are the Bailim of this Korban, and it can't be, Rashi explains that he has in mind that Goyim are going to be Miskaper with it because we're going to explain later on that the whole concept of Shinui Bailim only applies if you have in mind somebody who actually is chayev that kind of kapara. So for example, this applies in general by Korbanos. If you have, for example, he does the zrika of a chatas that Reuven brought, having in mind Shimon, where Shimon is not even chayev a korban chatas, then that doesn't take effect. It has to be somebody who actually needs that kind of kapara. Now, Goyim are not shayach to Korbanos Tzibur, of course. They're only for the Jewish people. So therefore, there's no such thing as Shinui Bailim when it comes to a Korban Tzibur. So you have, so in short, you have four things in which Shinui Hashem, Shaloi Lishmoi, is stronger than Shinui Bailim. So therefore, again, Rava is arguing that it's one thing for Shinui Hashem to be so strong, therefore, that it'll passel the Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach afternoon. But on the other hand, that same Machshava at earlier in the year, before Pesach, will be Machshuit, fine. But to say that the same thing should apply to Shinui Bailim, which is so much of a weaker Shinui that it doesn't have these four criteria, not necessarily. And the Gemara continues, V'afakav the Tauti Lavdavka. Now, you could argue of these four distinctions, maybe two of them are Lavdavka. They're not really very strong. They're not really very strong differences. But Tauti, Miadavka, but two of them, no matter what, you have no way of schlugging them up. Namely, the Maishna Shinui Bailim that I have a psul b'gufay. Now, you could argue like this. Shinui Bailim, you're saying, is not considered a psul in the actual korban itself, is sort of a side thing. You could argue the psul machshava ba'almahi, it's only a psul that involves machshava. Well, then Shinui Kodesh Nami psul machshava ba'almahi. You could argue, not like we said before, that Shinui Hashem, that Shechting Shaloi Lishmoi is a psul b'gufay. Now we're arguing maybe not. Maybe it's only considered a psul and machshava. Psul b'gufay would be something that affects the actual physical body of the korban. But a shinui hashem, maybe not. Any kind of shinui involving machshava, maybe not. So you could take off that one. So you could argue Shinui Bailim delehaba psula begufay de machshava ba'almahi. You could argue that Shinui Bailim is not really considered a psula in the actual korban itself. It's just a machshava. You could argue by the same logic. Shinui Kodesh nami psula machshava ba'almahi. So you could argue the same thing. Shinui Kodesh is also only a machshava. It's not something in the guf of the korban. So we take away that one. The two, and furthermore, let's address another one. We said, we said that if a person dies not having brought his korban and his son is bringing it after him, then we said Shinui Bailim doesn't apply. Does it? Is that necessarily the case? What about? We have the opinion of Rabbi Pinchas Brei de Rab Ami in Zvachim, who says that there is such a thing as Shinui Bailim, as Shinui Bailim La'achamissa, or Rashi has a slightly different gear, so Yesh Bailim La'achamissa, that he's considered to be the owner of the korban even after he died, and therefore, again, if it's shechted on behalf half of some other bialim, then the son is going to have to bring another korban. So according to him, Michael Maimah, what are you going to say? So then there's no difference in Shinui Bailim between Shinui Bailim and Shinui Hashem. Both of them apply La'achamisa. Fine. But even if we learn that way, the Gemara says it doesn't matter. Tauti mias davkaninu. Nevertheless, okay, so instead of four differences, you have two differences. You definitely have two things that apply to Shinui Hashem that don't apply to Shinui Bailim. Number one, Shinui Hashem applies across all four avodas. Any one of the four avodas that he does shaloi l'shmo will affect the korban. Either make it that he's not yotze with most korbanos, or make it actually possible in the case of the Pesach and the Chatas. As opposed to, we said when it comes to Shinui Bailim, that will only be with zrika or with other avoiders in which he has zrika in mind. So he shechts having in mind that the zrika will be for a different owner, for example. So that's one difference. And the other difference is that Shinui Hashem applies to Korbanos Tzibur as well. Shinui Bailim doesn't, because there are no other Bailim. So based on all of that, Rava says you can't compare Shinui Hashem and Shinui Bailim. Ela Omar Rava. So rather, Rava says, here's the answer. Pesach sheshachte b'shavi mos hashanah b'shinui bailim. If he shechts the korban Pesach any other time during the year with Shinui Bailim, he has in mind Shimon instead of Reuven. Nasa k'misha ein lo bailim bizmanoi. What will happen is that will be the equivalent of shechting it bizmanoi without bailim at all. Now it's like this: when it comes to the korban Pesach, if you shecht it bizmanoi. If you shecht it bismanoi and have in mind Shinui Bailim, then it's going to be possible, because like we're going to say in the next Mishnah, shachta shalayla oichla v'shalayla menuyav, then it's possible. So if he has in mind different people, then it's going to be possible. So even if he does it b'shali mos hashana, he does it other times during the year, it's the equivalent of shechting it without Bailim bismanoi. During the actual time of Erev Pesach, or Pesach, and therefore even during the rest of the year, it is going to be Pesach. It's the equivalent. In other words, Rava is saying that yes, it is shechting at l'shem bailim is not strong enough, unlike Shinui Hashem, to make it kosher the rest of the year. We're going to say that as far as Shinui Bailim, Erev Pesach, and the rest of the year are the same thing. Which means Tosfos says, even if we were to argue that we're not going to take in mind any of these pirchas, any of these distinctions between Shinui Hashem and Shinui Bailim that we said, nevertheless, we're going to say that like this: if you have, even you have a Pesach that you bring bizmanoi, let's say the original owners, let's say everybody who was registered for that particular Korban Pesach died. Nevertheless, we still say in the next Perek that you still need Akira. In order for it to be a kosher, different type of Korban, you're still going to need to say this is not a Pesach anymore because everybody who was registered for it has died. Instead, we're going to make it a different Korban. And if you just shechts it stam, then it's possible because it has no bailim. So the same thing. Shinui bailim is not going to be considered an akira. Therefore, it's still considered like a korban pesach, and a korban pesach any other time during the year is possible. That's how Tosfos explains Rava's answer. Rashi then brings a different explanation over here. That when we said before, Shinui Bailim doesn't apply by all avoiders. Before we were saying it means that Shinui Bailim applies only by Zrika. Then Rashi brings over here an explanation that no, the other way around. What we're saying is it doesn't apply by Zrika because we're going to discuss soon in the next piece of Gemara after the next Mishnah. We're going to talk about that, having in mind the wrong people eating the Korban Pesach only applies by the Shchita. However, Rashi says that no, they're different things we're talking about over here. When we talk about the Shechts Shaloi La'Oichlov, he means there are people who are registered for the Korban Pesach, they just can't eat a kazayis of it. And therefore that applies by Shchita. But Shaloi La'Menuyav is another way of saying Shinui Bailim, that applies by Zrika. So we're left with, Rashi says, what we said before, that Shinui Bailim or Shaloi L'Menuyav, which Rashi says amounts to the same thing, applies only by the Zrika or only by other avoidus where he has Zrika in mind. Okay, So anyway, so that's the bottom line. Rava says is you can't compare Shinui Hashem and Shinui Bailim. Shinui Hashem, he does it any other time during the year, then that's fine. It makes it no longer a Korban Pesach. And now it becomes a kosher to Korban of whatever other type he said. On the other hand, Shinui Bailim was saying there's at least two, maybe as many as four differences between it and Shinui Hashem. And in addition, you have after all a din that if you shechted a korban pesach without bailim at all, namely that all the bailim died or withdrew from it before it was shechted, then it's going to be possible unless you were oiker it, unless you said it's a different korban. So therefore, shechting it shaloi l'shem bailim, shechting it with shinui bailim a different time during the year is going to be just as possible. Okay. Mishnah says. If you check the Korban Pesach, having in mind people who are not able to eat a kazayis of it, we talked about this before. So in other words, they may well be registered for the Korban Pesach, but you have, for example, an entire family registered, but among them you have people who are healthy and are able to eat a kazayis, and then you have people who are old or sick and cannot. And he had in mind only the shaloi la'ochlav, only the people who are not able to eat a kazayis, or the shaloi la'menuyav. We had in mind only people who are not registered for this particular Korban Pesach, or la'arelim. He had in mind only arelim, only people who don't have a bris milah. And again, we've talked about before, most Rishonim understand that this means it doesn't matter why he doesn't have a bris milah, even if it's not his fault, even if it's because his brothers died because of milah, and now he has to wait until he's stronger. Nevertheless, for our purposes, he's still considered an oral. Vilatmeim, or he has in mind during the shchita of the Korban Pesach that it's going to be eaten by tmeim. Obviously, not when the Korban Pesach is being brought b'tumah. We're talking about in a regular case when it's being brought b'tara and tmeim are not allowed to eat from it. So in those cases, possible. In those cases, the Korban Pesach will be possible, as we're going to see in the Gemara. On the other hand, but if he shechted the Korban Pesach, having in mind both people who can eat a kazayis and people who cannot, or lemenuyav v'shaloi lemenuyav, he had in mind some people who are registered for it, as well as some people who are not. Lemulim v'la'arelim, he had in mind some people who have a bris milah and some people who have an orla. L'tmeim v'l'tahodim, or he had in mind some tmeim and some tahodim. In those cases, kosher, because the fact that he had in mind some people who can't eat from this Korban Pesach, as long as he had in mind also some people who could, then that's good enough. We mentioned before, Rashi gave an explanation at the bottom of Samach Amud Aleph, based on the Gemara later, given that to eat even a kazayis of the Korban Pesach, the whole animal has to be shechted. So therefore, what we can say is we focus on the people that he had in mind who are able to eat it, and we ignore the fact that he was also thinking of the ones who ones who can't. By the way, earlier Tosfos points out. Now we learned yesterday about Reb Meir says Tfois Loshen Rishon, that when a person says two things that may contradict each other, you focus only on the first one. So according to him, if he were to say L'tmeim L'tahodim over here, wouldn't it be a problem? He said Tmeim, and therefore we should ignore the Tahodim. So Tosfos actually explains earlier that according to Reb Meir, we'd have to be talking about that there was a whole group of people Tmeim and Tahodim standing in front of him, and when he's getting ready to shecht, and he says, I'm doing this for all of them collectively. So therefore, there's no Loshen Rishon and Loshen Achron, because he's saying all of them together. And the Tzlach actually points out, the Noda Behuda points out that maybe for that reason the Mishnah over here mentions the Tmeim before the Tahodim, whereas with all the other ones it mentions the ones who could eat before the ones who can't. The Lo'ichlov, then the Shaloi Lo'ichlov, the Menuyav, then the Shaloi Lo'menuyav, etc. Maybe in order to tell us, again, not like Reb Meir, that it doesn't matter Loshen Rishon, Loshen Achron, as long as there were people who are able to eat the korban included, then it's fine. Okay, continues the Mishnah. Shachta kodim chatzois pasul. If you shecht the korban pesach before chatzois hayom on erev pesach, then it'll be pasul. Mishum shenema bein ha'abayim, because the pasuk says it has to be shechted bein ha'abayim. At the beginning of the perek, we talked about that the earliest they ever bring the korban tamid, we said is 6.5 hours into the day, because it takes a half hour for the shadows to be noticed to have noticeably moved, that the sun is noticeably in the west, and we said the korban pesach is supposed to be brought after the korban tamid, but the bare minimum for it to be kosher is that it's after chatzos at least. Shachta kodem l'tomid kosher. If you shech the korban pesach before the korban tomid, then it is kosher. Uvovad sheyehe acham amares bedomai. As long as you have somebody stirring the blood, so it doesn't congeal, and you can do zirka with it. Ad sheyizorek hatomid, until the blood of the korban tomid is sprinkled, because really, as we said before, the korban tomid is supposed to go first. Because we said before, the korban tomid, it says bein ha'abayim, and pesach it says bein ha'abayim as well as be'erev. The im nizrak, but if b'diavad they sprinkled the blood of the korban pesach before the tamid kosher, then b'diavad it's kosher because we said that it should be later, but it's not possible b'diavad. We have a general rule with korbanos, which we're going to say now in the Gemara, that we have a general rule shana olav akosav la'akiv, only when the Torah repeats something twice by korbanos are we saying that it's ma'akiv. If it only says once, then it means you're supposed to do it that way, but it's not possible it b'diavad. So here it doesn't say twice that the Korban Pesach has to be after the Talmud, therefore it's only Lachatchila, not B'dievid. Okay, so the Gemara starts off, Tana Rabbanon, Kate said Shaloi La'Oichlov. What do we mean, the scenario where, what do we mean by Shaloi La'Oichlov? What does that mean? People who can't eat it means l'shum choyla or l'shum zaken. He had in mind when he's shecht in the Korban Pesach that the meat is going to be eaten by a sick person or by an old person or by a bunch of sick people or old people who cannot each eat a kezias. That's shaloi l'oichlov. Kate said shaloi l'menuyav. What do we mean by shaloi l'menuyav? Means nimnu olav chavurazu. You had a particular group registered for this Korban Pesach, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. V'shachter, the Shem chavura acheres, and he shechted it on behalf of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, a different group. Okay. Now, where do we know this from? That you have to shech the Korban Pesach on behalf of menuyav, and bechlal that you have to be registered for the Korban Pesach. The Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk says, it's in this week's parasha, b'michsas. The Pasuk says that you gather together and you bring a Korban Pesach, b'michsas nefoshes. Now, michsas, Rashi explains, is a lotion of counting. So therefore, it means a counting, an enumeration of people. So melamed she'ena pesach nishchat ela lemnuyav. So from here we learn that the Korban Pesach has to be shechted for those who are registered. Actually, what we're going to say on Amud Beis is from here really what we're—it's not so much we're learning the Korban Pesach has to be shechted for them, and if not, it's possible that we're going to learn from a different pasuk. We learn from here the basic concept that there has to be registration for the Korban Pesach, and that those are the people that the Korban is shechted on behalf of, and those are the people who are yotze with it. So continues the Braisa, Yochol shachta shaloi l'menuyav yehei ka'over ala mitzvah v'kosher. So you would think maybe if he shechted at shaloi l'menuyav, it's just okay, he was over on the mitzvah. He didn't do the mitzvah in the l'chatchiladik way, like we said in the Mishnah about the Talmud and the Pesach, v'kosher, and it would still be kosher. No, Talmud Lomar b'michsas tachoisu. Therefore, the pasuk continues in the same pasuk after b'michsas. It continues tachoisu alaseh, and the word tachoisu is from the same shodesh as michsas. So therefore, akosav shana olav la'akiv. So this is one of those things. The Torah repeated something about a korban to tell us that it's ma'akiv. To tell us that it has to be that way, and if not, then it's possible. On the other hand, Rebbe Omer, Rebbe learns differently. He says, no, the word tachoisu is not the same loshen as b'michsas, loshen sursihu. The word tachoisu is actually not in loshen kodesh, it's in the Syrian language, which means Rashi says is a different dialect of Aramaic. You have those Aramaic as a whole, and then you have different dialects of it. In particular, the dialect that they spoke in Syria and to a certain extent in Eretz Yisrael is called loshen sursi, sursi meloshen Syria. Rashi even brings that in his times the scholars of these things called this lingua Surya, which means the Syrian language. Anyway, so he says the word tachoisu is loshen sursi ka'adam sha'omer lachaver koisli tlezer, like the expression that somebody would say shecht for me this sheep. In other words, Rebbe is saying that the Tachoisu is not coming to repeat it, and therefore Shana Olav La'akiv. Rebbe is going to learn that it's Ma'akiv from a different pasuk. Rather, he's going to say the word Tachoisu Alaseh means the Shchita, or it means the Shchita has to have in mind for Menuyav, for the ones who are registered for the Korban Pesach. Tosfos says that actually Rebbe is not really arguing with the Tanakhama. He's just saying we can learn it in a different way. He's saying that he's saying this psul of having in mind the oichlov and having in mind the shaloyla oichlov and having in mind the shaloyla menuyov only applies during the shchita, not during the other avodas, like we were saying before. Okay. So fine. So that takes care ashkachon shaloyla menuyov. That takes care of how we know that the korban pesach is that you have to have in mind menuyov. You have to have in mind the people who are registered when you shecht it. And if not, then it's going to be possible. Shaloyla oichlov menolon. Where do we know the same thing applies to shaloyla oichlov? After all, the cholo, the zaken, is registered for this particular korban pesach. He paid money towards it. There's a certain assumption we're gonna talk about it here and there that registering for the korban pesach doesn't necessarily just mean walking over and saying I want to be part of it. It actually involves pitching in some money, at least if you're not a member of the family or whatever. Anyway, so this zaken or cholo did that. So they are menuyav. They just can't. They physically can't eat a kazayis of it. How do we know the same thing applies if you had only them in mind? Menalon, where do we know that from? The answer is Amakra ish lafi ochle tachoisu, because the pasuk continues, each person according to what they can eat, meaning eating is a kazayas, tachoisu, you should register, so therefore it, or according to Rebbe, tachoisu, you should shecht, therefore it kash ochle in the menuyin, so you have a hekish between people who are eating and people who are menuyin, people who are registered, where whatever applies to one applies to the other, and therefore just like you have to have the menuyin in mind during the shchita, and if not, it's possible, the same way you have to have in mind the ochlin during the shchita, and if not, then it's possible. Tosfos explains the same thing then will apply to the Arelim and the Tmeim, because the same thing, the Oro can eat from the Korban Pesach and the Tomei can eat from the Korban Pesach. Which actually then, now Tosfos over here points out an interesting point where they argue with Rashi. We learned before at the top of the Amud, we talked about Shinui Bailim, and we said that Rashi basically says that Shinui Bailim and Shechting Shaloyla Menuyov is basically an expansion of the normal thing of Shinui Bailim. Shinui Bailim, we said, applies primarily only in Zrika, or in other Avodas where he's having the Zrika in mind. On the other hand, Shaloyla Oichlov and Shaloyla Menuyov applies during the Shchita, where he's having in mind that these people are going to be eating from the Korban Pesach. So Tosfa says, actually, if we're making a hekesh between Oichlov and Menuyov, then we should be saying that Shinui Bailim and Shinui Oichlim applies to all four avodas. And the answer is, Tosfos says that actually, not like Rashi, Tosfos says that actually Shaloyla Menuyov is a different kind of psul than Shinui Bailim. Shinui Bailim, we said, applies only in Zrika or other avoidus where he's having in mind the Zrika. But Shaloyla Menuyov is a specific thing that applies only to the Korban Pesach, and it's not an outgrowth of Shinui Bailim. It means that he's shechting Shaloyla Menuyov, and it's only specifically by the Shchita and only by the Korban Pesach. So it's two different psulim, and therefore we can't learn from that. We can't learn from that that the same thing should apply to that the same thing should apply to other korbanos, or that it should apply to other avodas. Okay. Now we have a question like this: Shochte lemulin al menaschi skap ruboy arelim. What happens if he shechted the korban pesach on behalf of people who have a mila who can eat from it? But he had in mind during the Shchita that the Zrika should be done on behalf of Arelim. And right now, Rashi explains, we're talking about whether those Arelim are registered for the Korban Pesach or not. Later on, we're going to revisit that possibility and see not necessarily. Maybe we're only talking about where they're not registered. But right for the moment, right now, the point is they are Arelim, therefore they can't eat from the Korban Pesach. So the question is, now he did the Shchita properly on behalf of the Mulin, but he had in mind during the Shchita that eventually when he gets to the Zrika, that the Arelim are going to be Yotze with it as well. So Bizrik, Chamanashi is kappa by Arelim Bizrika. So he has in mind that Arelim are going to be Yotze the Korban with the Zrika. So the question is, does that work? Now Tosfos at the bottom of Amud Aleph discusses this and discusses a few details about this. Definitely, if he had in mind people who are in a menuyav, who are not even registered for the Korban Pesach, then for sure that would be possible. That amounts to Shinui Bailim. But So Tosfos goes on to say the question that we're asking about Arelim, though, would also apply to Shaloyla Oichlov. It would also apply, same idea, if he shechts the Korban Pesach on behalf of Oichlov, on behalf of people who can eat a Kazayas, but he has in mind she's Skaprubo, that they should be Yotze with it, also exclusively the ones who can't eat a Kazayas. So Tosfos learns it would be the same thing by Arelim as it would be by Oichlim and so forth. Tosfos also goes on to say that we're talking about Davke, he has in mind she is skapru, that he has in mind that they should be yoitze the chiyuv of the korban with this. If instead he had in mind not only skapru, but he's thinking that he's thinking during the zrika that the arelim or what have you are going to eat from it, then that wouldn't be a problem. Because when it comes to zrika, there's no question. Zrika is not really for the purpose of achila. Only shchita is for the purpose of achila. So the riva in Tosfos learns that if he has in mind during the zrika kapara, then it creates a problem, as we're going to say in the Gemara over here. But if he has in mind achila, then not. There's a whole different shita. The Rambam has a shita that this whole question over here is specifically about arelim, and the various mefoshim on the Rambam deal with how he would understand our Gemara. That's a little more complicated than we're going to get into right now, I think. Okay, so the basic question as we have it in front of us in the Gemara is like this: he did the shchita on behalf of the mulin, so far so good, but he had in mind during the shchita that when he comes to the zrika, he's going to be including arelim in it as well. So does that work? Rav Chista am apostle, Rabba am a kosher. Rav Chista says in that case the korban will be apostle. Rabba says it'll be kosher. Rav Chista am apostle because he says yesh machsheves arelim bezrika, because you have a problem. He says you have the you can't ha- he says you can't have the zrika on behalf of arelim. So in other words, it has to be the zrika is exclusively for the oichlim, is exclusively for the for people who are able to eat the korban pesach, and here he's not. Therefore, it's possible. Rabba omar kosher ein machshava arelim bezrika. Rabba says it's kosher because we don't care about that he had a machshava of arelim when it came to the zrika. That doesn't matter. It's only when it comes to the shchita is there a problem if he has in mind the arelim, but not during the zrika. So Omar Rabba Minoa Minala. So Rabba says, where do I get to say that it should be kosher? So Detanya, Yochol, we learn in a Braisa. Now the Posik meant that the Braisa starts by quoting the Posik for Chol Oral Lo Yochol Boy in this week's parasha that says that an oral is not allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach. So Yochol Yifsol Bnei Chavura Boy Nimoy. So you would think then that if an oral is registered for the Korban Pesach together with some mulim. So again, let's say you had a whole family registered for the Korban Pesach. One of them happens to be an oral because he's Mesuach of Machmas Mila, let's say, and he registered for it as well. So you would think that he passels the whole group that he's with, and therefore the whole Korban would be, and therefore the whole Korban would be possible. So the Braisa says we can show by a mamatzinu that it's not so. Vidinhu, we can argue as follows to the contrary. Hoyo v'orla paiselas v'tumah paiselas. Now orla passels because we said you have to have the person has to have a bris milah in order to eat from the Korban Pesach. V'tumah paiselas also being tome passels a person to eat from the Korban Pesach. So therefore we should compare those two things. We should make a binyan av from one to the other. Ma tumah like also a mixas tumah kachol tumah. Just like when it comes to tumah, we don't say if some of the people are tumah, then he has them in mind also that it passels the whole korban. We say we focus on the tahodim and we ignore the tumayim. Af orla like also a mixas orla kachol orla. The same thing is going to be true of orla. Just because he has in mind some arelim is not going to passel it as long as he had some mulim in mind as well. Now, later on, the Gemara is going to ask, why is it so obvious that Tuma, it shouldn't matter whether some Tmeim are included? Why by Orla are we saying it's not so obvious and we have to learn it by a Binyan Ab? That the Gemara is going to deal with later. But meanwhile, then the Braisa continues. Oy kloch l'derech zu. On the other hand, maybe not. Maybe you could argue to the contrary. You can argue that Orla has, you can argue that Orla should be compared to a different psul. Hoyov Orla paselas is man paisel. Orla passels, a person to eat from the korban, if he's an oral. Also, zman passels in the sense, if you have, during the shchita, during any of the avodas of the korban, you have a machsheves zman, he thinks that he's going to be, he thinks that the korban is going to be eaten beyond its time, or that it's going to be burnt on the mizbeach beyond its time. So we know what happens: the korban becomes pig, the korban becomes pigle. And we know that that applies and mazman also b'miktas zman kacholzman. Now, when it comes to pigle, that applies not only if he has in mind to eat the whole korban outside the time. It applies even if he has in mind to eat a kazayas of it beyond the time. Then it also possible. It also makes the korban pigle. So therefore, maybe adarabah, maybe we should compare orla to zman. Ma zman also b'miktas zman kachol zman. Just like when it comes to a machsheves zman, a thought that is going to make the korban pigle, that applies whether we had in mind the whole korban or only a kazayas of it. Af orla also b'miktas orla kachol orla. Maybe we should argue orla the same thing. He has in mind that an oral is going to eat a kazayas of this korban pesach, even though he also has in mind that mulim are going to eat other kazayasim of it. Maybe that should be enough to passel it. Just like with the pigle, we would say that if he has in mind to eat one kazayas of it the next day, and he has in mind to eat the rest of it that night, that would make it pigle. So maybe orla is like pigle. So is orla like pigle, or is orla like tuma? Where, as we're going to say later on, we can demonstrate that when it comes to tuma, one person being tuma or a few people being tuma is not affecting the kashrus of the rest of the korban. We'll later on the Gemara will discuss. We'll take up that point. So the Braisa continues, Nira l'midoyma. Okay, well, since we have the possibility of comparing Urla to Tuma, and on the other hand, we have the possibility of comparing Urla to to Zman, Nira l'midoyma. Okay, let's see which one it's more similar to. Well, then the answer would be done in davar she'ena noig b'chalas vachim, mi davar she'ena noig b'chalas vachim. So what we're going to do is we're going to learn something that doesn't apply by all korbanos from something else that doesn't apply by all korbanos. Meaning, when it comes to an oral and a tome, it doesn't apply by other korbanos, not in the sense that an oral and a tome can eat from other korbanos, but in the sense that an oral or tome could be yotze korban which they're bringing. An oral or a tome are able to send a korban to the Bis Mikdash, let's say an oil or a shlomim or a chatas or what have you. They're able to send a korban to the Bis Mikdash, and it will be offered on their behalf, and they will be yotze the korban, unlike the korban Pesach, we're saying that they're not. So we should learn that. So we should learn davar she'ena noig b'chalas vachim, learn something which doesn't apply by all korbanos, namely oral midavar she'ena noig b'chalas vachim, from something else that doesn't apply by all zvachim, namely tome, where both an oral and a tome, when it comes to other korbanos, are able to send such a korban to the Bis Mikdash, and the kohenim will offer it on their behalf. Don't try instead to draw an analogy with zman, with the thought of pigle, which applies equally well to all korbanos. Any korban that you shecht with a machsheves zman is going to be pigle. So that would be the logic to say, therefore, that oral is like tumah, and therefore, again, applying that to what we said originally would mean, therefore, just like if you have in mind some tmeim, then it won't be a problem. The same way, if you have in mind some arelim, it won't be a problem as long as you have in mind mulim with them as well. However, the Braisa continues, Oy kloch l'derech zu. Maybe not. Maybe look at it another way. Dun in davar shaloi hotem miklaloi, mi davar shaloi hotem miklaloi. Maybe instead you should learn orla where there's never an exception to it. An oral, fine, he can send his korban, but an oral can never eat from a korban. So maybe we should derive that midavar shalehotu miklaloi from another case, namely zman, where there's never an exception to the rule. There's never a korban that's shechted machshemas zman that is kosher. Va'al techiach tuma shehotu miklaloi. Don't try to learn from tuma, where after all you have the exception, because you have when it comes to the korban pesach, where even the if the korban pesach is being brought, and most of the tzibur is tamei, then even the tmeim are allowed to eat from it. So there you have an exception to the rule of tmeim eating korbanos. So maybe we shouldn't learn orla from tumah. Maybe we should learn it from pigle. So now that we reached an impasse, now that we don't know which one to learn it from, whether from tumah, and therefore say that if he has in mind a kazayas of it will be eaten by arelim, then it'll still be kosher, or learn from pigle, where if he has in mind the kazayas of it will be eaten chutz lezmane, it'll be possible. Which one do we learn Orla from? So now we need a pasuk. Tamad loyma zois. Therefore, the pasuk says zois chukas a pasach. This is the rule of the korban pesach, where it says a few pasukim later kor orla loyechaboy. So the question is, my Zeus, where do we see from the word Zeus that, where do we see from the word Zeus that, that it's kosher if he has in mind an oral together, together with Mulim? And in fact, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, we actually learn it from a different pasuk. Ilema de kula orla pasla miktsasa le pasla. Are you saying that ultimately we're learning from the word zois that only if he has in mind exclusively arelim, then it'll be pasul, but if he has in mind only some arelim, then it won't? You don't need the word zois for that. Haim v'chol oral nafka. That we learn from the fact that it says a few psukim later, v'chol oral lo yechaboy, and the word kol oral means that only if it's all, only if it's all arelim. So no mulam at all. So now this is Rabba is analyzing this braisa and trying to use it as a proof for his opinion that just because you had in mind that the zrika is being done on behalf of Arelim, the korban will still be kosher. We don't care about what machshava he had during the zrika. So now he's showing from this braisa. So what does it mean? What are we learning from the word zois? We're not learning the concept that the braisa was actually trying to teach us, that if you had in mind some Arelim and some mulam, it'll be kosher, because you're not learning that from the word zois. That you're learning from Bechor Oral. So obviously the braisa must be saying like this, Talmud Loma, v'chol oral, that the braisa is not saying that you're learning from Zeus. It's saying that you're learning from v'chol oral. And then what you're saying is like this, v'chol oral teaches us that it has to be exclusively arelim in order to be possible. Then we're learning from the word Zeus that you would think maybe it should be different. Maybe shchita and zrika are different in that regard. Maybe when it comes to zrika, we would say that having in mind some arelim would make it possible as well. And no, therefore we're saying zois. So he teaches out. Elolav hachikatoni. Tamad loyma. It's like the braisa is missing words. Tamad loyma v'chol oral, because it says kol oral, meaning all oral, meaning it has to be exclusively arelim for the korban to be posel. So kula orla posla miktsasa le posla. Only if all the people he's shechting on behalf of our arelim is it posel, but not if only some of them are. V'chi tema hu adin the zrika de kula orla mi posla. Then you would argue. So kula orla posla miktsasa le posla. If you have in mind only some arelim by the shchita, it won't be posel. V'chi tema. Then you might argue hu adin the zrika. Maybe the same case, maybe on the other hand, when it comes to Zrika, the same thing is true. Dekula orla mi apostla, that even that if you have in mind exclusively arelim by the Zrika, then it will be possible. No, that's where we say Tamad Loima Zois. That's what we're saying. The word Zois is a mute. Beshchita hu dekula orla mi apostla. Only by Shchita will it be possible if you're doing it exclusively on behalf of Arelim. Aval Zrika, but when it comes to the Zrika, is different. Afilu kula orla nami le apostla. Even if you have in mind only Arelim, then it won't be possible during the Zrika. V'chitema might call it a Zrika. So then Rabba finishes off, so you're going to wonder, why should we assume that Zrika is more lenient than Shchita? So the answer is Dein Machsheves Oichlin B'Zrika, because we would say that the Machsheva of who's going to be eating it is not relevant by Zrika. Only by the Shchita. Only by the Shchita is... We're going to say later on in the past, we said on Amud Aleph, actually, we said ish lefi ochle tachoisu alaseh, we said michsas and tachoisu, means that during shchita, the specific gzeres hakosov that you have to have in mind the minuyim, and you have to have in mind the oichlim. So therefore, so by other avodas, that doesn't apply. So therefore, the zois would tell us, don't apply this to zrika at all, even if by zrika he had in mind exclusively arelim. As long as during the shchita he had in mind mulim and arelim, or mulim exclusively, then we're fine. So Rabba says, that's where I get my opinion from, therefore, that we don't care about what machshava he has during the zrika as far as arelim are concerned. Now, that's Rabba. V'Rav Chista, how does Rav Chista answer that? He says, Ad Rabba le'inuch Gisa. He says, on the contrary, what the braisa is telling us the other way around. No, the zois is not coming to say that zrika is more lenient than shchita, like you think. Just the opposite. It comes to tell us that zrika is more severe than shchita. Namely, Talmud Lomar, he agrees, he agrees the Braise is missing words. Talmud Lomar v'chol oral. Yes, the word v'chol oral teaches us that only if he has in mind exclusively Arelim by the Shechita will it be possible. Kula oral apostle, m'ksasal apostle. When it comes to the Shechita, only if he has in mind exclusively Arelim, but not if he has in mind some Arelim and some Molim. Aval Zrika, but Zrika is worse. Afilim m'ksasal, nami apostle, just having in mind any Arelim during the Zrika that they're going to be miskaper with it is going to make it possible. So now you would have said, why not? Hu adin l'zrika. Maybe you should say shchita and zrika are the same thing. Da'ad de'ika kula orla l'pasla. Only if it's exclusively arelim, would it be possible? No, therefore, Rav Chista says, that's what the Talmud Lama Zois comes to tell us. The Zois, he says, is a mute the other way around. Shchita hu de'miktsasa l'pasla. That by shchita, if he has in mind mulim as well as arelim, then it's fine. Only if he has exclusively arelim, is it a problem. Aval zrika for the miktsasa nami pasla. But by zrika, having in mind any arelim during the zrika, says Rav Chista, is going to create a problem. And we learn that from the word Zois. V'chitema mai chumre de zrika. So then you're going to ask, on the contrary, so why is zrika more chumre that we should say that shchita, only having in mind exclusively arelim, is a problem, but zrika, we would say, even having in mind any of them is a problem, says Rav Chista. The answer is delo mikba pigul ela bezrika, because you find elsewhere a chumra in zrika over shchita, namely when you have, if the kohen has in mind of a machsheves zman, which is going to make the korban pigul, yes, it can be done at any one of the four avodas. He can have that machsheva and it'll make the korban pigul. However, when does the korban become officially pigul, such that if a person now eats from it, a kazayas from it, he's going to be chayev kares? Only when the blood was sprinkled. And only when the blood was sprinkled without any other machshava. Meaning, for example, the Gemara tells us in Zvachim, let's say he did the shchita with a thought of zman, which makes it pigul, but now later on he did one of the other three avodas with a machsheves mokoim, or any of the other machshavas that are going to pass all the korban. So then, in that case, the korban's not pigul, it's only posel. And if the person eats a kazayis from it, he's not going to be chayev kares. You have to have that the zrika was done, that the, you have to have in particular that the zrika, which is the last of the four avodas, was done bekashrus. And that's when it's keveya, that's when it establishes that now this korban is pigul, and that if a person eats from it, he's going to be chayev kares. So you see, says Rav Chista, that zrika has a certain chumra that the other avodas don't have, because the other avodas are only making it, it's like potential pigul, but it's not actual pigul until a proper zrika is done. Therefore, by the same logic, Rav Chista says, therefore, the word zois can be teaching us, here is another chumrah that applies to zrika by the Korban Pesach, namely, that shchita will only be possible if he has in mind exclusively the arelim, but zrika will be possible, says Rav Chista, even if he has in mind only some of the arelim. Okay, so we'll stop over here and we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, with discussing the ins and outs of this. And in the course of that, we'll discuss the point that Rashi mentioned before, that the Gemara has sort of left out, why is it we automatically assume that Truma, there's no problem having in mind some Tmeim and some Tahorim, whereas Orla, we weren't sure about that, and we ended up learning it from the word, and we ended up having to learn it from the word V'chol Orl. So that's one of the points that we'll discuss tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.
Thank you, Rabbi. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Thank you. Yeah.